This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. In the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us tonight Professor Boyd Haley, and he is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the Kentucky University of Kentucky. And of course, we're going to be talking about an incredible subject. If you're not acquainted with it, you're going to say, well, this couldn't be true. I mean, after all, if this were true, everybody would know about it. And the problem is, it is true, and very, very few people know about it. I'll never forget when I was studying to be an orthopedic surgeon. I was a resident at Merritt Hospital in Oakland, and one of our doctors there, this was 50 years ago, 1955. And this doctor had been well trained. He was from Mayo Clinic, but he had an odd idea, and that was that if you pulled out your teeth on your patients, a lot of the chronic complaints they had would get better. And we all sort of laughed at him. I mean, we know that a lot of his patients did get better. He was very well thought of, and that thought has always been in the back of my mind. Why would pulling out teeth on people with these chronic musculoskeletal conditions influence their course of their disease? And then, of course, I took up at one time in my career, I traveled all over the world to learn acupuncture. And one of the things the acupuncturist talked about is nothing else helps why you go ahead and you get the dental fillings out. And, but I always had sort of an uneasy feeling about that. It seemed like an awful lot of work to take out fillings. And eventually, of course, I gave up acupuncture because I was a surgeon. But at least I learned what other people were thinking. But it really wasn't until recently when I heard Professor Haley talking about, of course, the influence of mercury and the toxicity of mercury in fillings that I began to catch a glimpse of perhaps what this was really all about. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. Well, my pleasure.
Why don't you just go ahead and how was it that you became aware of the fact that there were real problems with dental fillings? And you actually were working certainly on Alzheimer's disease long before you began looking at mercury fillings, weren't you?
Yes, I was working on Alzheimer's disease for some time, and we'd published a few papers on some biochemical aberrancies that, occurred in Alzheimer's disease brain compared to, age-matched normal controls. And to cut to the chase, what I found was that we started looking for toxins that might mimic the effects you see in Alzheimer's disease. In other words, something you could add to a control brain or expose a control rat to that would develop the biochemical aberrancies you see in Alzheimer's disease brain. And what our research showed is that mercury, and only mercury, would do that. That got me invited and exposed to a group called the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology. They invited me to give a talk at their conference, and then they exposed me to the concept that there was mercury coming out of my amalgam fillings. And to tell you the truth, I didn't believe them. I had to prove it to myself. And then I had one dentist send me a package of, that you could make amalgam fillings with. And I made amalgam fillings in a mold, and we tested them in my laboratory, and since then, I've been in a fight, like I call it the 12-year fight with the town drunk. You tell people, it seems silly even to sit here on the radio and say that in dentistry they put amalgam fillings, which are 50% of the most neurotoxic metal that a man can reasonably be exposed to, thought to be exposed to. It comes out, any chemist can measure it, any high school kid can measure it, and yet the dentists deny that. And it's just a preposterous statement, and then I get put in a position where that it's really okay if a person gets amalgams put in their mouth when they're 8 years old, and they can keep them in there until they're 68 or 78 years old, and this constant exposure to a low level of mercury wouldn't cause any problems. With mercury being the most neurotoxic metal, you know, that we know about, you know, other than a couple of radioactive compounds, a couple of radioactive elements. So we're in this preposterous situation, and then you go to the government, and you realize that amalgams were grandfathered in when the FDA was formed in 1930, and one of the FDA, well, the major FDA person in the dental branch, admitted that the FDA has never tested the safety of dental amalgams. And yet we're supposed to believe it. And what they do is they believe the fact that, you know, the cursory observations of a dentist, or all dentists, indicate that they're safe. And, you know, it's preposterous. You know, it's just a real bad situation, especially when you consider how many of you have ever gone to a dentist and had them ask you, are you on, you know, kidney dialysis instrument, I mean, treatment? Because mercury is also known to be one of the most potent toxins of the kidney. And we have thousands of people on kidney dialysis, and yet the dentists willingly put amalgams in their mouth and help them suffer even more.
Well, you know, of course, we hear a great deal about the danger of eating swordfish or tuna fish because there's mercury in them. And certainly there's one instance over in Japan, as I remember, where there was mercury was a byproduct of something produced in that area, and it went out in the lagoon, and everybody is eating the shellfish there, and they were getting mercury poisoning. But, you know, they tell mothers, pregnant mothers, that they shouldn't be eating tuna fish now because, of course, the mercury will get through to their child. And yet, of course, the amount of amalgam in the mother's mouth really will determine the level of mercury in that child. Now, let's talk a little bit about how people can actually convince themselves that mercury is given off. Because I've seen your videos and you can actually see the fumes rising off that filling. Would you like to describe that a little bit and how you were able to actually to measure that, the mercury vaporization from fillings that had been in the mouth for many years?
Yes, it's a simple chemistry trick. It's not a trick. I mean, it's just a way to analyze it. And by the way, that video was done, you know, by Christy Demon in Uninformed Consent. Anybody can go to www.uninformedconsent and read and see that video if they're inclined to do so. But it's something that we do in our a class that I teach called Mercury Science and Politics. And what you do is you use a fluorescent screen. You turn the lights out in the room. You hold an amalgam filling in front of that screen, and you shine an ultraviolet light on it, UV light. And that's a mercury lamp, and the mercury lamp puts out a wavelength of light that's absorbed primarily by mercury. And you can see the vapors come off, and in our class we have the students look at the rate of mercury vapor that's coming off, and then they abrade the amalgam with a toothbrush, and they see that it increases it dramatically. And then I have them take a mercury vapor sniffer, a Gerald mercury vapor sniffer that, you know, EPA and OSHA use to detect mercury in factories, and they go up next to the amalgam filling and they take a sample of that air, and they see that indeed that's really mercury, and that is quite a bit.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing is that 75 or more years ago, the dentists didn't use mercury amalgam fillings because they knew it was toxic. And then what's that whole incredible story about? Because, you know, many, many years ago, long before most of today's dentists were born, why, dentists recognized the danger. In fact, you couldn't be an ethical dentist if you actually used mercury fillings. What's that all about?
Well, in the 1830s, you know, the dentistry in this country was mostly organized around what they called the American College of Dental Surgeons, and to be in that group, you had to sign a declaration saying that you would not place mercury in the mouths of your patients, because people knew about Mad Hatter's disease, you know, where people worked with mercury. Mercury is well known to be extremely toxic. However, there was the Concourse brother came over from England. I think they were of French origin, but they came over from England, and they started placing mercury-containing fillings in the mouths of people in their cavities, and it worked quite well. And there's almost no doubt, you know, amalgam makes a good tooth-filling material if you don't mind being exposed to mercury. I mean, you know, it hardens, it's very pliable, it's easy to place, you know, it's very forgiving. You can put it in a wet socket. So, in essence, people who didn't have much money could get their fillings, because it was rather inexpensive compared to gold, which was the only other option at that time. Some other options like hot lead, but none of them that we'd want. So that's how it took off, basically because they could do it cheaper and better. But at the same time, you know, back in the 1830s, the average American didn't live to be probably much more than 42, 43 years old. In early 1900s, it was 50 years old. But now today we're having people live to be 78 on the average, and so they're keeping amalgams in their filling past the age where they are capable of excreting that mercury. I mean, as we age, we lose the ability to make several compounds that monitor and keep our bodies healthy from heavy metal toxicity. For example, melatonin levels drop. Melatonin levels control the synthesis of glutathione, and glutathione levels in our bodies drop as we age, and that glutathione is the molecule that binds mercury and carries it out of the body. And so as we age, we reach a point in our life where we can no longer handle the mercury that's coming out of our amalgam fillings, in my opinion.
And, of course, then we get this cumulative effect, and you actually find changes in the brain that's certainly compatible with chronic mercury poisoning.
Yes, and this is one thing that really aggravates me. The American Dental Association will say there is absolutely no proof that mercury causes any kind of damage, yet the publications that are out there, not just by me, I mean, I started a lot of it, bulk of it, with regard to Alzheimer's disease, showing that mercury caused the same effect on the major brain protein called tubulin, causing it to abnormally aggregate and become insoluble in the brain. You can make that happen with mercury. And since then, you know, some work by the researchers at the University of Calgary in Canada and a research university in Italy have shown that mercury generates, you know, basically all of the tenets of what we look at as diagnostic hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease.
But, and of course, they really don't want to admit this for many, many reasons, because think of the implications of that. Now, of course, the dentists themselves really, in many respects, are victims of this, because don't they get a far greater mercury exposure than even their patients do?
Well, if they're not careful and if they replace a lot of amalgams, yes, they do. And there's been studies showing that they have some adverse effects. Although I think the major thing is how many you have in your mouth and what is your genetics. And I would say that, you know, in my opinion, the real victims of this ruse are the dentists. I mean, they go to dental school and their professors tell them that mercury doesn't come out of amalgams at any level that would cause any problems, and yet they don't have any science to back that statement up.
Well, now, of course, don't you actually increase the amount of mercury that comes off? It's simply in the process of chewing or chewing hard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or putting it in hot water. I have my students do those studies, you know. And not only that, we don't just do it by looking at it with a UV lamp. We've made amalgams like the size of a baby aspirin, and we know the weight and the surface area of that amalgam. And we place it in a sealed container with 50 mLs of water. And at the end of the day, we pour that water out, and we measure the mercury in that water. We add another 50 mLs, and we do that several days in a row. And we've averaged, and it comes out with a very popular filling to be about 4.5 micrograms per centimeter squared per day. If you take that amalgam and hold it with a pair of tweezers and brush it two times that day, 30 seconds each time with a medium bristle toothbrush, the level goes up to about 47 micrograms per centimeter squared per day. So braiding an amalgam filling makes it, you know, release a lot more mercury.
Well, now, of course, I'm sure that you must have talked to dental groups about this and tried to get them to realize the danger, not only to the patients, but the potential danger if they persist in putting these things in. It's one thing to put them in when you don't know there's a problem, but when you've been told there's a problem and you continue putting in the mercury, then this could really suggest that you're responsible for what the outcome of what's going on. Is there a move within dentistry at all to begin backing away from mercury fillings and get into ceramic or composite, these other types of fillings?
Yeah, to the credit of you know, the general practicing dentist, there's been a dramatic decrease in those that will place amalgam fillings. And when I have talked to them, I have gone, I've walked into dental study groups, you know, there'll be 25 to 35 dentists, and they initially introduced me as the enemy. And, you know, and when I would go in, they'd have their lunch in the evenings, you know, and they'd have their meeting, and they'd ask me if I would come and talk, I think with the idea of intellectually beating me up. I mean, not to physically beat me up. And by the time I got through, I mean, I was supposed to be there for 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, I'd be there 2 or 3 hours answering their questions. and they would be very upset at the fact that here's all this data that they were told didn't exist. You know, the proof. I mean, for example, in the disease idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, or IDCM, this is where young people die because their hearts don't develop properly. The level of mercury in their heart tissue is 22,000 times higher than it is in people who die, you know, of other forms of heart disease. So we know, and where does that mercury come from? These are inner city kids or kids in the Midwest playing football. And so anyone that says that having mercury in your mouth won't collect in your tissues just is poorly read scientifically. I mean, they just are not reading the literature at all, or they're ignoring anything that's being published by medical types.
And I really think the real problem is that I don't think that the dentists are intentionally doing anything to harm people any more than the average doctor would do anything to harm one of his patients. But, you know, if they're not told, and this is not mentioned at their dental meetings, and it's certainly not written up in their dental journals, the dentist has no way of knowing, unless, of course, they get hold of your material or some of our material, and they go to their dentist and explain the facts of life to him and ask him at least to check out the sources of information. Now, you have an excellent website, don't you?
It's a website that we put together because people kept asking me, primarily dentists who were being sued or taken to a dental by the state boards, you know, for saying that amalgams are unsafe.
Dentists that were telling the truth.
Yeah, dentists that were telling the truth, practicing freedom of speech and then losing their license for doing so. So I started putting, along with the Dr. Kurt Pendergrass, who works for me at that time, we built a website, and but primarily, you know, Dr. Pendergrass had, you know, had a lot of time, and I said, well, let's just find every article we can find on mercury toxicity, both pro and con, by the way. I mean, you go on there, you get the whole load. I mean, even some of the things that I disagree with are on that website. But it's all, if it made it into a refereed publication, we try to get it on that website. And so there are thousands of articles on there about mercury toxicity and work on, you know, the toxicity of amalgam fillings.
And what is that website?
It's www.testfoundation, all one word, testfoundation.org. And we're not selling anything. You just go there and it's there to help people who get into legal fights with dental organizations who think that they shouldn't be telling patients that mercury comes out of amalgam fillings. So now they don't have to tell them. They say, go read this website.
Well, I think that this is really the tragedy. Now, the laws vary in every state, but in certain states, I mean, the Dental Association will go after dentists who try to tell their patients the truth, and they get reported, you know, as telling people that amalgam can be harmful. They can lose their license or just come under tremendous harassment. So here is some place that people can go and get the scientific facts. I think here in California, why you are allowed at least to tell the patients that there is at least a question of that, and we'll be having a local dentist on here in a couple of weeks, and he can, of course, bring us up to date. But, of course, he is well aware of the danger of dental amalgam, and he actually takes it out. He's actually heard some of Dr. Haley's talks, and I was really very impressed and certainly encouraged me to get him onto our program. So you have to understand that mercury is accumulative. It has a predilection for the brain, that the tissues in Alzheimer's disease have showed changes that can be ascribed only to mercury, and the fact that it's in the mouth. Now, is there any relationship to the fact that it's in the mouth rather than in other areas of the body? Does mercury have more predilection to get to the brain because of its proximity to the brain?
Sure. The mercury is a hydrophobic gas, and it penetrates the nasal mucosa. And when you're breathing, it's taken up in the nose, and the nasal mucosa has, you know, pretty fast access to the brain while it's still an uncharged gas. And when it gets in the brain, it gets oxidized, and that's when it becomes toxic.
Now, we're going to have to interrupt you there a minute. We're going to have to take a break as far as our listeners up in the Great Northwest. When we get back, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. Haley, who is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. And, of course, he is doing everything he can to awaken people to the very real danger of mercury and amalgam fillings. And, of course, we have other accesses to it, but this is something that involves most people in the United States. And the fact that actually the mercury can actually be vented, can actually come off of those fillings, to me was the most amazing revelation. And yet, of course, once you've seen the videos, and I will tell you probably in the next hour how you can actually see that. There is a website, though. How can people get that website that shows the mercury coming off the fillings?
They just go to type in uninformed consent, all one word, and dot com, and there's the item is there, along with some other items that you can look at.
All right.
But it does show the mercury vapor come up, and it's hard, it's a picture's worth 1,000 words, and a movie's worth 50,000 words. That's what it comes down to. And I would point out to the listening audience there that in Sweden, they will no longer pay, the government will no longer pay for people to have amalgam fillings placed. In contrast, what they will do is they will pay to have your amalgam fillings removed because they have found out in a large study of around 900 patients that if you remove the amalgam fillings from patients carefully and put them on, antioxidant vitamins and supplementation, that a lot of these people got markedly better from their neurological symptoms. And so, and it's not only there. In Japan, they don't even teach the placement of amalgam fillings anymore. In Switzerland, it's the same thing. And a lot of the countries in Europe, and including Canada, recommend that you do not place amalgam fillings in mothers that are going to be of childbearing age or in small children. And the National Academy of Sciences and the Environmental Protection Agency both agreed that somewhere between 8% and 10% of American women of childbearing age have such high mercury body burdens as to render any child they'd give birth to, a danger of being born with neurological problems.
And yet, of course, the average American has no idea about any of the things you're talking about, and I've had my ear fairly close to the ground for a long time, and it wasn't until recently, talking to you and a few other people and some dentists that I became aware of this, and the fact that other countries have just simply refusing to allow this to amalgam fillings to be used, then why don't we hear about this from Tom Brokaw? And Barbara Walters, and there seems to be almost a conscious effort to suppress this. Have there been any major programs? There was one major program that dealt with this toxicity, wasn't there?
Yeah, they've had one, and the backlash, from advertising, and you got to understand that there are people that put a lot of emphasis on trying to prevent people from talking about this, and see, I've been subpoenaed by American Dental Association lawyers to give some information to them with regard to one charge of a lawyer in California who said that they were involved in not telling the truth to the California people with regard to mercury coming off of amalgams. And so they have a lot of money and they put a lot of pressure on you.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. And we have a couple of callers now, and we'll get to those as soon as we hook up again with our affiliates up there in the great state of Washington. So our guest this evening, Professor Haley from the University of Kentucky, and of course he is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry, internationally known. We'll be right back. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Dale calling from Washington. What part of Washington do you live in, Dale?
I live in Yakima, Washington.
Okay, fine. Okay, so they got that new 10,000-watt station there. At least they've upped the power on it. Glad to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
I do. I have a question, and my question is in regards to the mercury fillings that you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. I grew up in this state, in Tacoma area, and, I've had plenty of fillings put in my life, and I know... from the job that I do and our program, our dental program allows the white type of filling, and I think that might be the one that you should have in your mouth.
Yes, that's a composite use.
And I guess what I was wondering is, do you recommend that someone age 34 like myself would have the current metal fillings in my mouth removed and replaced with a composite?
I would suggest you talk to a physician, and a dentist instead of a research scientist.
Well, the fact that I'm health conscious and I don't want to have the low level of mercury being released in my mouth over the length of time, I guess.
Okay, let's put it this way. The one argument against placing amalgam fillings is you have to take them out someday. And when you do, you get exposed to a bolus amount. The mercury levels in your blood will go up dramatically because you can swallow small chips of this of the amalgam, and as the drill heats the amalgam, it puts off a lot more vapors, which you can breathe in, which can be absorbed through your skin and your mouth. So, if you're going to have them removed by somebody who knows how to remove them carefully.
And, of course, the thing is to cut down on your exposure to mercury when those amalgam fillings are removed.
Yes. I mean, and there are people they can go to the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology website, and they will tell them how to do that.
Could you give us that website for Dale?
It's just iaomt.org.
I-A-O-M-T. I-A-O-M-P.org.
M-M-T.
M-T.
Yeah.
Like
medical toxicology for toxicology.
Okay. The International Association of Medical Toxicology, okay?
Medical and oral toxicology.
Right. Okay, and they would they would certainly be able to give you the address of a dentist in your area who is trained in this. It's not something you want to have, just everybody doing.
Right.
And and it will lower it. On the average, if you take out, an average of 4 to 5 amalgam fillings, it will drop your the mercury blood level by a factor of fivefold. That's been published.
Anything else, Dale?
Just one question. He mentioned something about as you age, there's a component in the body that decreases that carries mercury out. So I felt like if I was going to do it, it'd be better to do it now rather than 10, 20 years from now.
Well, you're right. And let me tell you, there's also, you can talk to a lot of people that are very health conscious.
Yeah.
They know, if you're going to go in and have amalgams replaced, that day, the day before that, start taking a lot of vitamin C, supplement yourself with selenium. And things that, eat a lot of garlic food, because that does bind mercury and prevents a lot of it from getting into your central nervous system.
Okay, we currently do take a lot of vitamins, including vitamin C and stuff, so that's...
Okay, anything else, Dale?
No, that's great, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, and tell other people there in Yakima to listen on in. Let's go to Pure Heart calling from Aptos, California. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and hi, guest.
Haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, but I'm still listening.
Okay.
It's the kids.
Okay.
I'm going to refine on the previous question. If when we're going to have fillings removed, with you say all at once or just a couple per year?
All right, that's a question. Pure Heart wants to know whether or not you're to get them all out of one time or you get a couple out 1 year and a couple out the next year. I have any thoughts on that at all, or would that be up to the dentist?
Yes, when I got my first research, my wife had 15 amalgam fillings. And what we did, we talked about it, and I thought about it a lot because, she doesn't like going to, it's not that she doesn't like going to a dentist, she doesn't like getting, the needle in the jawbone. And so we did hers a quarter at a time. And I think that's something reasonable. I mean, you don't want to space it out to where a person's going in and getting, the anesthesis treatment every week. Reasonable people can disagree with that. And so, I would leave that, I'm not a dentist and I'm not a physician. I don't know if there are more painless ways of doing this, and it will also depend on how many amalgams you have. But I'm reluctant to give advice in an area where I don't really know all the details.
Okay, anything else, Pure Heart?
Have they done any research on fluoride binding with the mercury? Fluoride being negatively charged and mercury positive, does it bind up mercury?
I haven't done any research because it was all done before I was born. I mean, there's certainly mercury binds to fluoride.
Does fluoride tend to carry the mercury into the brain? That would be the question.
Well, mercury forms a semi-covalent bond with the halogens, bromine, it would change its penetrating properties. Now, I haven't read anything, nor have I done anything myself to show that it increases the amount in the brain, but if you had a lot of fluoride, I think it would definitely have an effect on how well mercury penetrated the membranes.
I was hoping it might carry it out of the body, but I guess it could go in too.
Yeah,
okay.
It goes in too. Okay, thanks so much, Pure Heart.
Okay, bye.
And right now we've got Mike on the line. I'm going to ask Mike if he'll just hang on until after the break here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Radio Liberty, and of course with us on the line from Santa Cruz is Mike. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. You can give us a call. Mike, you have a question or comment?
I've got a question, and it may not be within your guest's field, but when a person goes to have this amalgam removed, there's a question of who pays. And so their health care provider might decide that this is cosmetic work, whereas the patient, of course, is interested in having toxic material removed from his mouth. So which way do you think that could go?
Well, I think for the most part, as long as the ADA has the major sway over the insurance companies, they won't pay for the composite fillings. They'll pay, and if you have one replaced, even if it needs replaced, they will just pay up to the value of the amalgam filling and not the composite. Okay. However, there is a person who has a major company in the Chicago area, and he has insisted that his insurance carrier provide the replacement of amalgams with composite fillings. So there is a change in the good, in the good-hearted Americans who realize that it's not a good idea to put mercury in your mouth. So I think you'll see this change in the near future.
I really think that Professor Haley is absolutely right, because I will tell you that off the record, the people here in the Dental Association in California know that they're going to lose this battle. They're just trying to figure out how they can get out and preserve some dignity, because the last thing you want is for the public to know that the dentists have been doing something wrong. And, of course, the best thing to do is come forward and say, look, we were wrong. The new evidence shows this. But they're not courageous enough to do that at the present time. But they know there's going to be real problems, and I think this whole thing's going to be changed here, whether it'll be a year or 5 years or 10 years. But I believe that we're going to do exactly what Switzerland has done, and what Sweden has done, and what Japan has done, and we're going to start trying to protect our people. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I just think it's very interesting how they've got their heels dug in so hard on the fluoride issue, and now there's this with the mercury.
There are a lot of issues out there, and that's why you listen to Radio Liberty. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark, calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I was listening to the program tonight, and I heard you talk a little bit about some of the laws in some of the states. Now, I know in Oregon, there was a law preventing dentists from speaking to their patients.
It wasn't a law. It was a regulation by the Oregon Dental Board.
Yes.
Yes.
But I think that's since been rescinded.
Yeah, your American Civil Liberties Union in Oregon jumped all over him and said a dentist has a right to freedom of speech, and to say the truth is certainly should be an unabridged right. And so Oregon is unique in that regard.
Okay, anything else, Mark?
I know in Washington they were trying to do the same thing and enact a law, but there was such an outcry from dentists and their patients.
Well, I think, Mark, now we have the Internet. Why, people can get this information. And this is, the Internet is a two-edged sword, but there's a lot of good there. And, of course, we want to utilize the good as long as we can. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to have free access to the information such as what we're talking about tonight. But for the time being, we do. And let's get people going to these various websites we've been talking about. Foundation, that's chestfoundation.org, or uninformedconsent.com. Anything else, Mark?
No.
Okay, fine.
I would just like, before we, to let the listening public know that there is a bill in Congress to phase out the use of dental amalgams in America. And if we don't do that, if we don't support that law, it won't be very many years and when the United States dentistry will be third world dentistry.
Well, how can, I've never even heard of that legislation. Who putting it forward? Is there any people that our listeners should write to? Because we'd like to do everything we can to help.
They should write to their own specific congressman. But the people sponsoring the bill is, Diane Watson from California, from the Los Angeles area, and she's a black female Democrat. And her co-sponsor is Dan Burton from Indiana, who's a white male Republican.
Well, that's an odd couple, but, just because Diane Watson's in favor of it doesn't mean I'm going to be against it. If she's right, I'll back her every step of the way.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that this is not a Republican versus Democrat issue. It's people who are informed. Dan Burton has a child that's autistic, and that's sensitized him to the mercury issue.
No,
just let...
Do you know the name of the bill or the number of the bill by any chance?
No, I can't right now. I mean, I think I know it, but if I say it, I might be wrong.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will try to get that number and get it out to you. If not, well, you can certainly look it up on the internet or give me a call off the air, and we'll track it down. But this is something you can do, and of course, you create the awareness by having the legislation. And even if they try to put the legislation down, the fact that it's been raised, and if it's raised over and over again, why, eventually people are going to begin to understand what this is all about, and they'll put pressure on their dentist, and their dentist will put pressure on their representatives in the dental association. They'll put pressure on the national organization, and hopefully we can, of course, save an awful lot of lives and save an awful lot of people from pretty terrible, terrible disease of Alzheimer's disease, which really is increasing, isn't it?
They're saying that there's an epidemic of it coming up, that it's going to be much higher than what many of them expected. But it's not much higher than what I expected. If someone understands that the major implantation of dental amalgam started with the baby boomers after World War II. Before World War II, we were in the Depression. People didn't have the money to go to the dentist. There weren't that many dentists around. People living in, you know, outlying farm countries didn't have easy access to dentistry. But after World War II, the fact that American citizens went to the dentist a lot more, you're now getting them. They're the big experiment, because those people are now reaching the age of 60, where Alzheimer's is starting to come in. Exactly as I said, as you reach a certain age, you can no longer handle that mercury.
Well, now, is the Alzheimer's disease in any way reversible? Is there any way, if they took out the mercury fillings, and then is there any sort of chemical that will tend to bind the mercury and pull it out of the brain?
The body can take care of itself if you keep it healthy. Now, you know, and people are working on treatment of people for heavy metal toxicity. There's a big push in this area. That's the big push that's in Sweden. They've spent 12 million kroner on this heavy metals biology group to try and get people to, come up with techniques of treating people to allow them to come back with some recovery from a lot of the neurological problems. But right now, to say, do I know an absolute way that absolutely will get all the mercury out of your brain? No one knows.
All right, well, at least they're working on it, and I think that's encouraging. Anything else, Mark?
I don't know if I agree with the point that dentists are totally oblivious to this. I remember seeing a local dentist here in the Tri-City saying that, well, the FDA says that this stuff is okay, so I'm going to use it.
Well, I think but we don't know what he knows. Your job is to get to him and say, here's the information, you look it up, and if you reject it, then it's on your hands. But, you know, at least I've told you, and check it out, because you would not want to harm your patients, would you?
No.
I don't think the average dentist really would. But dentists are like sort of sheep, and in many respects, doctors are like sheep, you know, and one goes one way, and they all follow. That's the problem we've got. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
All right,
I'd like
you
to comment on what he said. You know, the FDA has never tested amalgam fillings. The FDA, there is a dental branch at the FDA, and this dental branch is housed with nothing more than ADA dentists who make this statement with absolutely no proof to back up their safety issue. They make that statement. And when they said, well, our panel of experts looked at it, if one goes back and searches through this panel of experts, you find out that these are people that not one of them have ever published a paper, you know, on amalgam safety.
All right. Well, let's go to John from Spokane. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Yes, hello. I wanted to ask, back to this IAOMT.org website.
Right.
On this website, can somebody get a list of dentists in their general area that can remove the amalgams? Because I'm possibly interested in looking into this.
All right. The question is, will this organization put you in touch with the people who are focused on this and know how to do it as safely as possible?
That's their purpose. When you get there, you'll get phone numbers and contact information, and they have several hundred members that take lessons and go to classes, you know, when they have their national meeting to teach people how to do that. So, yes, and they will give you the names of the mercury-free dentist in your area.
Okay, just out of curiosity, do you have a phone number with that, or do I just need to go to the website?
Well, I do have a phone number if I were in my research office, but I'm in my house right now because it's 7 o'clock, so I don't have it with me.
Okay. No, I understand.
All right. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you. You made my evening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, of course, I hope we made the evening for a lot of our listeners, because if this sounds like a revolutionary idea to you, well, it's really not revolutionary. All throughout the world, people are recognizing this. It's just here in America, where we have supposedly freedom of the press and freedom of expression, you're never going to hear about that, and it may make you begin to question what's really going on. Well, anyway, of course, this, you know, with the increase in Alzheimer's disease, a definite relationship between Alzheimer's disease and the incidence of mercury, and knowing, of course, that the mercury fillings continue giving off mercury vapors that are absorbed in the nasal mucosa, and, of course, the proximity to the brain could certainly get that into the brain area. And, of course, there are other things. For instance, recently the vaccine manufacturers took thimerosal out of childhood vaccines. We were giving children in the nursery hepatitis B vaccine with toxic doses of mercury in the hepatitis B vaccine, and telling the parents, oh, we're trying to help your child. And have you looked at all into that, you know, into the effects of the vaccine, thimerosal in vaccines? Is that a little out of your field?
No, that's right in the middle of my field. I got into that, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we have a paper that just came out this last week in the International Journal of Toxicology, and what the paper showed, because, you know, it's a biological hypothesis. You know, the rate of autism has gone up, 600% since 1985 on the average across the United States, and it coincided with the increase or the advent of the mandated vaccine program. And I should tell everyone right around, I mean, I'm in favor of vaccinations. I just want safe ones. Dr. Mark Geyer has published some research showing that using the vaccine adverse effect reporting system of the Centers for Disease Control, and the epidemiology, strongly supports the fact that it is the thimerosal or the mercury-containing compound in vaccines used as a preservative that is causal for autism. In our paper, what we showed is we looked at the mercury in the birth hair of infants. And what we found is that with normal children, the mercury in their birth hair goes up with increasing number of amalgam fillings in the birth mother. In other words, you can show that the mercury is getting out of the mother's amalgam fillings and collecting in the birth hair of these normal children. When you go to the autistics, it was a surprising find. There's almost no mercury in their hair. And yet when you test their bodies have 5 to 6-fold more mercury in their tissues. So what we're seeing is that the autistic children represent a subset of the population that cannot excrete mercury, and they're very susceptible to low-level doses. And this is now, I think this is coming out more and more positive with more and more research that's being done.
And so these children then tend to accumulate it in their tissues, and specifically in the brain, and this then would be responsible for the autism. That's a fascinating thing to contemplate.
Yeah.
What sort of response have you gotten to that paper?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, it's very upsetting to people who want to say that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies made safe vaccines. They don't want to believe this at all. But they can repeat it. It wasn't like it was, this isn't rocket science to measure mercury in hair. And not only that, when I found this, Dan, I went back to the old literature to say, is there anything been done like this on Alzheimer's disease? And there were papers published in the early 1980s. And what they showed is that if you compare age-matched the mercury in the nail tissue, fingernail tissue, of Alzheimer's patients to age-matched controls, that even though the Alzheimer's patients had higher mercury levels in their body and in their brain, they had much lower levels in their nail tissue. And what this means is that when the mercury gets in your bloodstream, it has to get in your bloodstream to be excreted, to get into the urine and feces to be removed from your body. It has to get in your blood. If it gets in your blood, it gets into your fingernails. If it stays in your tissues, in other words, if the person cannot excrete it from the brain tissue, it builds up in the brain tissue, but that takes it out of the blood. So the level in the blood drops dramatically. And this paper, they published about 3 papers, and the third one said is the mercury in the nail tissue decreased with the severity of the dementia. And that fits into my thing that these people age, they can no longer excrete mercury, and as the disease progresses, they are less and less able to excrete it.
And now, let me just clarify this. In the Alzheimer's disease, do they have more or less mercury in the nails?
less.
Yeah, less mercury in the just nails. Just exactly like we're seeing with the children with autism.
That's right. But they have more in their body tissues.
Well, you know, these are frightening things, and something that certainly needs to be brought out. And I certainly respect you for being willing to get on the front lines. And, of course, because this is a battle of ideas. And as long as you're on solid scientific footing, it doesn't matter what the other people say or the names they call you or how they would try to demonize you or discredit you. If you're right, you have to say it. And, of course, eventually, why the truth is going to come out, especially since this is not something that is simply here in the United States. This is throughout the world, and the people in Sweden and the people in Switzerland and the people in Japan have recognized this for a long time. It's just a shame that the people here in the United States are not allowed to know what is going on in other countries. We're just having to sort of reinvent the wheel all over again, aren't we?
Yes, I think there's a lot of emphasis on placing people like me on on the fringe. You know, and I've offered to debate them anytime they want to debate in any venue they want. I never make statements without looking up the science that's been published in the research literature done by people that I don't know. And you'll find that I have very strong backing on this. However, you know, the people who sell dental products do a lot of advertising, and I think that's the reason you don't see this on the air. The American Dental Association makes most of it, or a lot of its money, by selling, you know, approved by the American Dental Association moniker to put on products. And I think a lot of people don't want to see that go away.
Well, I think that you have to do what's right. And really, I think that it's so important people understand that, you know, in the early 1800s, it was gross malpractice. They didn't have that term at that time. But my understanding was that you couldn't even join this original dental association without signing a pledge that you would not use mercury fillings. And then after these people came from Europe and started pushing this, wasn't it simply that isn't that where the American Dental Association came in, that they began, of course, created a new organization and encouraged the use of mercury fillings?
That's right. The American Dental Association was founded on the concept of using, you know, mercury-containing fillings. There's no doubt about it. And they displaced the American College of Dental Surgeons because they could do more fillings and make more money.
And, of course, the trouble is that we have dentists who never heard any of these things before. I mean, these are people who've gone through their, undergraduate and graduate degrees, and they've never read, they've never heard anything. That's why I think it's so important that our listeners out there get tapes of this or other programs we've done on the danger of mercury, and then get it to your dentist, because if your dentist is an honest man, he's at least going to want to begin looking into this to some extent to find out what this is really all about. Well, let's go to Gerda, who's calling us from Benton City in Washington. Hi, Gerda. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Thank you. You just had a gentleman on that wanted to know where he could get his mercury fillings safely removed.
Right.
And I have a list of all the ones in the state of Washington that will do that.
All right, fine. I'll tell you what. If you would, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your telephone number. And then if that gentleman would like to call back, would it be all right if we had him call you and get that?
He sure can.
The whole list. Do you have that posted any place, or would you make that
available? Well, I received this from the Tohoma Clinic in Kennewick, the whole list.
All right, fine. Well, I'm going to let you put you on hold. I will ask our producer, Jeannie, to get your telephone number. And then if the gentleman who was calling earlier asking about how he could get in touch with the IAOMT, he can probably get that information for you, which may be more extensive. Thank you very much for calling, Gerda.
Well, you're welcome.
And it's really great because there is a network of people out there who know what's going on, and of course, through Radio Liberty, we can give them a voice. So you hang on here. We'll have Jeannie.
I'm sorry, though. I'm missing your program.
You're missing my program. Why is that?
Well, I'm turning it. I have to turn it off when I talk to you.
Okay, fine. Well, but as long as you're talking to me while you're getting what's being said, and we'll put you right on the hold, Jeannie. Get your telephone number, and hopefully we'll get that other gentleman. Or either that, or could you send me a copy of that list, and I could make it available to anybody up there?
I sure will.
All right. Do you know my address? It's Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063.
Post Office 13?
In Santa Cruz, 95063. And then if anybody
else... Would you repeat that?
95063. And then if anybody up there wants that list, you can give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and we'll get it for them. How's that?
That'd be great. I can make a copy of it.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Gretchen. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Here, our guest this evening is Professor Boyd Haley, and of course, he is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. Are any of the other chemists across the country addressing this issue, or are they off on other projects?
Well, they're not too many, because the problem and the thing that we've observed, and we've turned this into the Attorney General's office, is that who gets money to do mercury research is a very select group of dental schools. And what's amazing is that for the amount of money that they've received, I mean, you know, a huge number of grant years, they've only published, only maybe one significant paper. And so, it's kind of well known that if you want to do research on mercury toxicity and neurological diseases, that you will not be funded by the National Institutes of Health. They will not fund you for doing that.
No, in other words, it's not only the American Dental Association, but the National Institute of Health and other government agencies that are going to withhold funds for people who are trying to investigate the toxicity and, of course, the possibility there's a very definite tie-in to Alzheimer's disease?
Well, if you, what I can tell the audience, if they want to go and into Medline and click in mercury toxicity and neurological diseases, you'll notice that most of the research that's done in this area is done in foreign countries. And very little of it comes out of the National Institutes of Health, basically because the mercury toxicity issue is primarily funded through the National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research. So the dentists and NIH control who gets funding to look at mercury as far as it being, you know, a neurotoxic agent.
And that really is one of the great tragedies of modern times. You know, it would be great if there were independent people of great wealth or some of the great foundations who were willing to fund this sort of thing. But
and they do, by the way. I do have foundation money.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
The Wallace Foundation funds me, and see, it's now changing. You're seeing that a lot of people, this insight going and the constant hammering by a lot of good citizens who think mercury shouldn't be placed in the mouths of people, and I'm not the only person out there making this statement. And you had the head lead researcher in mercury toxicity from Sweden testify in front of our congressional committee, just saying that many of the things that the American Dental Association spokesman was saying was incorrect, agreeing with me that he was incorrect. So it became very lopsided. So, you know, the information is now getting out, and it's increasing at a good rate at this time.
Now, of course, did you testify before the congressional committee as well?
Yes. Yes, I did. I was there, and a Dr. Mats Berlin was there talking about the dangers of exposure to mercury from all sources.
Well, Chris, I think it's so important that our listeners out there get hold of the information. You can certainly call Congressman Dan Burton's office in Washington, D.C., and get the number of the bill, and then write to your own congressman and say, look into this. You have an obligation to protect your constituents from a toxic, and since it's already been done away with or outlawed in so many other countries, you know, why can't we do it here? Now, I think it's a terrible thing when we have to go to the federal government. I think the federal government shouldn't be involved in most of these things, but maybe we have no other recourse at this time. At least it's a wonderful educational opportunity, and then I really believe it's up to the people who listen to these programs to check the facts and then start telling their friends, because once their friends begin to realize they're being lied to on this subject, they may very well come to realize they're being lied to on many other subjects as well, and I think that's really so vitally important. Well, now, of course, as far as the legislation, do we have any idea when that legislation will actually be going before Congress? Are they just holding the hearings, or will it be able to get out of committee onto the floor?
Well, it's in committee right now, so that's the key issue. And you can, it's quite well known that the American Dental Association is spending a lot of money lobbying the congressman to not support this bill.
Well, of course, I dropped out of the American Medical Association many years ago because I didn't believe at all in what they were doing. And, of course, the one way that your dentist can be active in this is simply to drop out of the ADA and
that's
just
right.
Paying the money.
And I would tell, you know, patients, you know, if you have a choice of going to an ADA dentist or a non-ADA dentist, you're going, you know, check on the non-ADA dentist, because at least he has the conscience to say, I'm not going to support, you know, this bureaucracy that goes around saying it's a great idea to put a toxic metal in the mouths of, you know, pregnant women and children. I mean, you know, it's such a preposterous concept to have to argue that I, you know, that you look at these bureaucrats in the ADA and say, you're telling me, you know, where's the paper that you can publish? You can show me that you published that mercury doesn't come out of amalgam fillings at a toxic rate.
And, of course, the other thing is that what actually happens to the child of a pregnant woman who's got a lot of fillings in? And, of course, you commented that the child will have a higher level of mercury in their brain. But are these children autistic, or how do they present?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone knows. You know, it depends on the genetic susceptibility, you know, of the children. And I think that can come across in several different ways. It's, you know, in Minamata Bay, where they had this disaster, which they knew they were looking at mercury toxicity.
This was in Japan.
Yes. You know, the individuals that were affected the most were the children that were in utero when the mother ate the toxic fish. And it actually protected the mother from the toxicity, because the uterus, in utero child will absorb most of the mercury from the mother's blood.
But what happened to the child?
Oh, they were demented and had all kinds of bone diseases and deformities, and they didn't live very long. I don't want to scare people and say that, you know, because you have amalgam fillings, your child's going to have severe diseases, because that's not the case. It's just the case is, you know, you are exposing them and you are doing them some damage, and they would be healthier if they weren't exposed to that level of mercury.
All right, we've got Mike back one more time. One question.
I can't help but wonder that maybe this whole thing about the mercury in seafood is nothing but a smokescreen for this greater problem that they are unwilling to recognize.
There is no doubt that the major contributor to mercury body burden of Americans is from their dental amalgams, not from fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you that fish, you know, when they're exposed to mercury, especially seafood, will bind it up with selenium. And so while a person is eating so many micrograms of mercury, most of that goes straight through your body because it's not available, because it's tied up with selenium and it's non-reactive.
No.
Whereas the mercury coming off of the dental amalgams is totally reactive, 100%.
So maybe, Mike, maybe you're on the right track. Anyway, God bless you. We're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I want to thank our guest this evening, Professor Boyd Haley, who, of course, is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. Thank you so very much for being with us. I know it's late back there. I'm going to let you go, but I really appreciate you being with us.
It was my pleasure, Stan.
Good night, and God bless you. All right, fine. Well, that was, of course, Professor Boyd Haley, and, of course, this is the time when we have to, of course, remind our listeners up in the Great Northwest that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we have to pay for our time, not only on this station, but stations all across America. As you know, we are on about 59 different outlets now every week, and maybe a lot of them just half an hour, but at least people are hearing the truth that they're not going to get elsewhere. If you believe there's a problem, you'd like to join us in this epic struggle to determine if this nation or any nation under God can long endure, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have a great book that covers this. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. You can certainly get my interviews, copies of this tape or my other interviews with Dr. Haley. Get the information, get it to your dentist, and help us to get the truth out. So until Monday, when we'll be back with you at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you. Hill, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, we're going to be talking again about dental fillings. Our guest now is Christy DeMond, and of course Christy actually has put a website up there. It's called uninformedconsent.org. And Christy was a victim of mercury filling intoxication. Christy, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you learned about mercury fillings, what sort of problems you were having, and of course how you've dealt with that?
Well, it's Christy Diamond and uninformedconsent.com. I want to be sure we got that out there, or they won't be able to get on that site. I was sick, is what happened. Is I'm just a consumer like most people, and I started beating the bushes because traditional medicine wasn't getting me well.
All right, now how were you sick? What sort of symptoms did you have?
Well, in my case, I had chronic fatigue. I had short-term memory loss. I had fibromyalgia. I had a multitude of reproductive problems. And that pretty much did the gamut of my lifetime. But of course, at the time, I wasn't aware, and I was treated, mostly traditionally. But what I found helped me mostly was using natural type of remedies, and that kept me upright for a while until I started getting. I read everything. I read everything I could get my hands on, and it became pretty clear to me that I was being poisoned by something. And one day I picked up a book called It's All in Your Head by Hal Huggins, and the bells and whistles went off. And I realized that, Jesus, this could be the problem. So I thought, as a preventative medicine, that I would go to a dentist who practiced this removal process, and this was in the 80s. And have them removed and have composite put in. And I did, and lo and behold, I got sicker. And I now know that I got sicker because there weren't enough safety precautions in place. And part of it was that the dentists just didn't know. They weren't being informed by their trade organization and that sort of thing. And then I spent the next 10 years trying to figure out, well, I had all these out. Well, I didn't really. He left a lot of it in. And then I had to have it done again about 3 or 4 years ago. And that's when I really started regaining some of my health.
Well, now, of course, was it simply some of the mercury then was left in, in the fillings? They just sort of pasted over the top of it?
Yeah, actually, they put, in two of my teeth cases, they put in a nickel-based cap with porcelain. And the nickel was highly reactive. It's a known carcinogen. And it reacted with the mercury base that they left underneath the cap. And the dentist, I remember him making the comment that, oh, well, you know, it'll be covered up so you won't be exposed to the mercury. I remember him saying that. But now I understand that, 80% of that amalgam filling is interacting with a live tooth, with the dentin and the nerve, which travels right down into your jawbone, into your nerve, and throughout the rest of your body. It has a little highway there that it can move into any tissue in your body. And, of course, it's right next to your brain. And of course, when you have more than one metal, which an amalgam is just by itself, it's a combination of could be maybe 15 different metals along with the mercury, and you have a saline solution like your saliva, you have an electricity that takes place, which precipitates the mercury vapor even more, and they call it I think Dr. Haley would call it maybe galvanizing. I'm not a chemist; I'm sure he would correct me, but or a battery effect. And so it does. The vapor comes off even more when you have more of these metals. And in my case, I had such electricity that when I was going through the second removal process, I actually had burn cankers on my tongue right next to these caps that immediately went away as soon as the caps were removed.
All right. Now, of course, you actually took the pictures of the tooth venting the mercury filters of fumes, and that is what is on your website. How did you get that picture?
Well, there's a retired dentist up here. He is a kind of a rock hound. His name is Roger Eichmann, and he carries that tooth that's in that video around with him, you know, all contained. And he does demonstrations. So I asked him if I could come up there with my video camera and take pictures of it. And so we wore some protective, you know, masks, and we went into a small little room with a lot of ventilation, and we turned the lights out because you use a UV light. And he has a little phosphorescent screen that he puts behind it, and we started at room temperature, and we slowly warmed it up to about 105 degrees. And that's what you see there on the website, and that's what Dr. Haley has with him.
And you're actually seeing the venting of the mercury vapors there. And it's really very impressive. I've seen the pictures, and it's really rather shocking to think of that actually going on in our mouths.
Yeah, it looks just like cigarette smoke trail, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, it's interesting that my 84-year-old mother happened to be sitting at the table one morning, and the light was coming through the glass. It must have been just right. She actually saw it for a moment coming out of her mouth after she'd been drinking a hot liquid, and she thought she was hallucinating, except that someone else was there and saw it, and they both thought they were hallucinating, but they didn't want to believe that it could be that egregious. And I said, well, yes, it is. And she had to come with me to go videotape that smoking tooth. It was kind of a humorous in a way, but she believed as soon as she saw it herself.
Well, now, of course, what you found and through your reading and talking to experts on this is that these amalgam fillings that have up to 50% mercury, you know, really do, of course, give off mercury, which is toxic to the human body. And, of course, the trouble is that most dentists have no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, I think we have, mercury in itself, for example, you know, these many of these dentists, I can't think of an exception, really. They're exposed terribly when they go through dental school. And mercury is a powerful neurotoxin and, you know, has a tendency to, cause people not to think as clearly as they might normally. And I think that's part of it. Their trade organization continues to hammer them and tell them that it's safe, and they want to believe it. And after all, they're busy business people keeping up their practice, and they don't realize that they're toxic, and they don't have to, you know, they're busy, you know, doing their business and keeping their bills paid, and they don't really have time to follow up on what their trade organization is saying. And the trade organizations, or with the ADA, is wanting to lead them to believe that people, you know, like Dr. Haley said, I'm sure they would love to try to make me into some kind of a, you know, fanatic who's trying to sensationalize something here, but you know, this is an incredibly bad problem.
Well, I think you know, many years ago, people who made hats used mercury, I guess, on the cloth, you know, to make it stiff. And of course, these people who worked, they were hatters. They became mad, and you've heard that phrase, mad as a hatter. Well,
that's right.
It was because these people went crazy because of the mercury poisoning. And yet, of course, we're going to put mercury into our mouths and think when it can actually vent off the tooth and think we're not going to get any problems with it. We're probably not getting the dose that the hatters got. But, of course, any dose is intolerable, and since there seems to be a very definite relationship between the mercury and the amount of mercury in the body and in the brain and Alzheimer's disease, and, of course, our children are certainly just skyrocketing autism up 600% in the last 20 years. This just didn't happen by accident. And everybody says, oh, shucks, well, we know it's not related to the vaccines, we can guarantee you that. We just don't know what it's coming from. And, of course, you know, they have no justification at all for making the statements they are. But of course, if the American people really understood that so many of the vaccines, I'm not against vaccines at all, but when they put them out without adequate trial, without adequate analysis, time after time after time after time after time, why, pretty soon you're going to get to the point where you're going to say, I don't trust them and I'm not going to take a vaccine unless it is proven with time not to be harmful, and I'm sure not going to let them experiment on my children, which is exactly what they've been doing for many years.
They have been, and I'll tell you a little story that I have two daughters, one's 21 and one's 24, and about 3 years ago, I had myself tested with what they call a DMPS push, where they inject, it's a chelating agent, and then they collect the urine for 24 hours, and they tested for about 15 different heavy metals. And in my test, I had approximately 9, and mercury was off the page, and nickel was quite high, too, because of those caps. And so I decided I was going to have my my girls tested, and their test came back almost a carbon copy of mine. Now, this was really, really alarming, since they have no dental work, and they've never had any dental work. And I'm happy that they're excreting the metals, because otherwise they would be in some trouble, according to what I've read. But the fact is that it's statistically really unlikely that they could have gotten that same 9 set of metals, which are all common to amalgam fillings, by the way, any other way but in uteri with me, which means that they had it from my body.
And, of course, this is the thing, and this is really what the last hour we had, of course, Professor Haley on, and he was saying that certainly in this tragic situation that occurred over in Japan, when the mothers were carrying their children, and they were eating, of course, all these fish or bottom feeders, whatever it was, that were so heavily contaminated with mercury, why, the fact that the women were pregnant meant that the mercury was not bothering them. It was all transferred to their children, who were born with all sorts of birth and mind defects. And so that's really a rather frightening thing to contemplate, is that actually the child in utero acts as a cleansing agent for mother.
That's right.
But what about the child? That's the thing. And I'm sure this is the thought that had crossed your mind as well.
Well, I was so compelled by all of this that I decided I was going to make a little 10-minute educational video that I could get this idea across to our lawmakers. And I was going to, you know, go save humanity. And my video sort of took over my life, and it now has become almost an hour documentary. And we do have Minamata covered in that. There's also a little section on, I'm sure many of your listeners don't know this, but in Washington State, for example, the Department of Ecology determined that mercury from dental amalgams from dental offices was amongst the top 3 polluters in the nation in our waterways. And that includes fluorescent light recycling and coal burning. And this never gets mentioned. They mention the other two, but they don't mention dental. But it's right there on their website, mercurymess.gov. And so what happens is this mercury from the dental offices, and they also mention mercury from human excrements and from cremations, by the way, it goes into our biosolids. And our utilities, for a number of decades, have been taking our biosolids and they have been reconditioning them as fertilizer. And no one ever thought that there could possibly be enough mercury and heavy metals in those biosolids that they'd have to address it, that it was just a trace amount. Well, it turns out that there's an astronomical, colossal amount. And they've been spreading it all over our farmlands. And I did a little calculation in our documentary and animated it. It turns out, with like a sixth grade math problem, that in 7 months and 10 days, they could completely contaminate one third of the state of Washington, which of course they've done many times. And no one meant to do it. I'm sure they didn't mean to do it, but it was because it was represented that it was a minute amount. Now in King County up here, they have required traps. And it will trap the big chunks, but as Dr. Haley said last hour, it still deposits in the water and it'll get right through the filters.
And I really think that this is really what's so significant. I've read some articles recently where dentists are being told that when they take the mercury out of the filling, take the mercury fillings out, they have to be very, very careful with that, and they can't put that in the regular trash. It has to go to special sites, you know, where it can be specially taken care of.
That's right.
But so if it's that dangerous, you know, that the dentist has to go to all these, you know, excesses or these means of taking care of it when they're taking it out of the mouth, what about when it's in the mouth? I mean, that is a question nobody wants to ask.
Well, everybody's been asking that. It's just chemically absurd to represent that it's safe. How can it be safe? I mean, the same amount of mercury that's in that filling is about the same amount that's in a broken thermometer, and you're supposed to have the hazmat team come up and clean up that. You're not supposed to use a vacuum cleaner, or you'll contaminate the entire house.
I think that's so interesting that here in California they've now totally outlawed mercury thermometers, and you're just not supposed to have mercury thermometers. They're supposed to all be eliminated. And of course, when I first heard that, I thought it was absurd. As I began to learn more and more about that, I thought, and maybe once in a while they're really doing something that's right. They sort of stumble into that. But of course, they're so concerned about the amount of mercury in a mercury thermometer. Why aren't they concerned about the mercury in your mouth? Now, I got the video you sent me, Uninformed Consent. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But, of course, that is available on your website, and can people actually get copies of the video from you?
Oh, yes, yes. They just they go onto the website and request it there, and there's a little button there, and uninformedconsent.com. And they can also find other interesting information there as well. We are starting to post press releases, and we're starting to evolve into a media service of sorts. And I was listening to you last hour, and you were talking about how the press has been not addressing this issue. And I had an experience when I went back to the November hearing. And you know, here I am. I'm a new journalist, but a journalist nonetheless. And I went to get a press pass through the proper channels in Washington D.C. to go to a public hearing for the Committee for Government Reform. And you're supposed to go to a place called the Press Gallery. And I went through the proper channels there, and I was told that no, I wasn't going to get a press pass, and if I showed up in there with a video camera, it would be confiscated. And I said, what? Yeah, wait a minute, isn't that a violation of my First Amendment right? I mean, a true violation is when your government denies you free speech or the freedom of the press. But they said, well, this comes directly from the administration. And I said, you mean the administration like our president, the administration? And they said, yes. So I was not allowed, and they said, well, you can get permission from the committee, which I did easily, Dan Burton's office and Diane Watson, gave, but I also had to get permission from the head of the minority party, and without even talking to me, hands down, I couldn't get it. So I was not allowed to videotape.
But you were allowed in the meeting.
I was allowed in the meeting, and there was not any press there that was visible.
Now, what about
except for the
C-SPAN there taking
C-SPAN court. They were not there. This was in November. They were not there, and the only one there that I knew of that was a journalist was the ADA journalist, who incidentally posted an article on the ADA site the day before and talked about their representative and didn't mention any of the other seven people who testified.
Now, the ADA, for our listeners, is the American Dental Association.
That's right.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Christy Diamond, and of course she's on the front lines of this battle, right along with Dr. Haley and a few others, we're just trying to get the information out on what this is all about and how we are systematically poisoning our people. We've got Terry calling from Spokane. Hi, Terry. Are you listening to us on the internet?
No, I called in just the last minute before your first program was over, and lady told me there was going to be somebody else talking about.
Yes, we have Christy Diamond, who you're in Oregon, aren't you, Christy?
No, actually, I'm in the Seattle area.
You're in the Seattle area. Okay, well, Christy is up there in the Seattle area, and she's certainly working with Dr. Halley and the others trying to get the information out. So, you can hear our second hour on the Internet, but if you don't have it, anyway, it's good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. My wife is a victim of mercury toxic poisoning, and I took her to Seattle to a dentist there. He did a wonderful job of removing those fillings, and he was very careful about putting the correct composite in her mouth that was biocompatible with her body. And I'm presently taking her to Portland, Oregon, to a clinic down there, and they're removing the mercury through chelation therapy and through what is known as colonic hydrotherapy. And they're getting that mercury out of her body. She is improving. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia, and it's just wonderful.
Well, I'm so glad, and there are things that can be done. Is she getting her memory back, her ability to think and function?
Just beginning to. Yeah, she's becoming more aware of the world around her. Her speech is getting better. It's the doc dentist, when we left his office, said, Terry, he says, this is going to take a long time. He says, I've seen this before, but he says, don't give up. He says, just get her to a good place where they can get that mercury out of her, and he says there's a good chance. They're quite encouraged down there because she is improving.
All right, well, I'm so glad that you got that information for me, and if you'd like to drop me the name of that clinic in Oregon, where they're doing the chelation, I'd appreciate it, and we can perhaps get that to some other people. Could you just mail that to me at Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
I'd really appreciate it. Terry, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I just wanted to say I got a couple of books here that the doctor in Seattle gave me. I was interested in them. He says, go ahead and take them. One is called Your Toxic Teeth by Murray J. Vimy. He's a professor of dental medicine up in Calgary, Alberta.
Now, what's his name again?
Murray J. Vimy, Vimy.
All right.
And another one is called Dentistry Without Mercury by Sam and Michael Ziff. And it's from a group in Florida. And I read these while my wife was going through this treatment, and it's quite informative.
All right, fine. Well, God bless you. And thanks so much, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's go to Diane calling from Aptos. Hi, Diana. How are you doing?
Dan. Well, I have a mouthful of mercury fillings, and I'm wondering where I could get them out here in Santa Cruz. Is there anybody here?
Yes, there is. And in fact, my dentist, I had no idea there were any problems in the world until I got him started looking into fluoride, and from fluoride, which I interested him in, then he got into mercury, and it's just transformed his whole life. But he's been to these meetings, and he certainly is in a position to do that. Now, I don't want to put his name out over the air.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold. We'll take your telephone number, and I'll call you after the program, and I'll tell you what his name is.
Fabulous.
In fact, I hope I'll be able to get him up here as a guest on one of our programs in the not distant future.
Okay, wonderful, because I've been feeling sick for a long time, and I've been suspecting that's what it is. And when I ask the doctor, they always say, oh, no, it couldn't be that.
Well, of course, the thing is, you want to make sure you go to your doctor, get completely worked up, and then...
I've done that, and they're just in denial.
Sure. Well, of course. But listen, I've been a doctor. I know.
Yep.
In fact, when my dentist wife came to me many years ago after a mild automobile accident, and suddenly she aches all over, and, ache all over simply because you got hit rear-ended. And, of course, at the time, I'll have to admit, I thought, well, it's just another one of those cases. Looking back on it, of course, I realized her symptoms were very real. Fortunately, she is getting better now. Anyway, Diana, you go ahead, and we'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Cindy Sodom will get your number, and I'll tell you when I get off, okay?
Okay, thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much.
Good night. Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you agree or disagree. But this is such an important subject because the incidence of Alzheimer's is just literally exploding. We find President Reagan a victim of Alzheimer's disease, really totally incapacitated today by this. Apparently Charlton Heston is getting this. So many people are, and it's not simply because people are growing older. I believe there is a toxic element to it. And those of you who did not hear our first hour's interview with Dr. Haley, and I'm probably going to put a four-tape set together because I've interviewed him a number of times, and I learned so much each time. But what they did, of course, they started out simply studying Alzheimer's disease, and they found, of course, there was an excess mercury there, and there were certain specific changes that were produced by the mercury. And then, of course, he had no idea where the mercury was coming from until he went to a meeting with a group of dentists who introduced him to this idea that it was the mercury in the fillings that were responsible, and he didn't believe them. He honestly thought that they were all crazy, and eventually they were able to give him the scientific data, and of course he had to convince himself it was really true, and now he's become really one of the great giants in this battle trying to get the truth out. And I know you know Dr. Haley quite well, don't you, Christy?
Yes, I do. We've become friends, and I met him through, we're fighting the same battle. And he says we fight this American Dental Association says there's no proof. Well, it's sort of disingenuous because they have no vehicles in place to know whether there's any proof. You know, it's real easy to say there's no proof when there's nothing there to track it. You know, I mean, anybody who does statistics would understand this concept. And certainly the American Dental Association understands it as well. I think that it's just such a frightening thing that they don't know what to do.
Well, I think people have to understand that the American Dental Association was founded on this concept of mercury fillings, because prior to that, if you were in the original Dental Association, you had a promise that you would never use mercury fillings.
Right.
And so along comes these people pushing dental fillings. They form their own organization. It's called the American Dental Association. And it's built around using mercury fillings, which prior to that time, 150 years ago, everybody knew they were toxic.
Well, and also you had a generation of dentists who practiced with gold, who just kind of, the generations sort of turn over, they get old and they die, and the new generation came out and it's cheaper and they could go fill teeth and the common man could afford it. They couldn't afford putting gold in, mostly. And so the money once again sort of won out. And no one ever, we didn't have the kind of communications that we have now, so the information just didn't get out to the people.
And most people died fairly young, so they didn't
Didn't
have it long enough to be getting the Alzheimer's disease. But now we're of course seeing Alzheimer's and so many other degenerative neurological diseases, at much younger ages. And I'm sure there are many factors, but I think that this is a very, very important one, and one that needs to be really thoroughly exposed. Well, we're going to have to take a break here. But when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, our guest this evening is Christy Diamond. Her website is uninformedconsent.com. That's uninformedconsent.com. That's right, isn't it, Christy?
That's right.
Okay, fine. And so we're going to be back here in just a moment. And of course, we've got Dana calling from Ohio, and we've got an awful lot of people out across America listening to the program who are obviously concerned with good reason. So we'll be back here in just a moment to get the last half hour this evening. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Christy Diamond, and right now we've got from Ohio, is that Dana?
Dana.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
Alrighty. Doing great.
Okay, fine. You listen to us on the internet?
Yeah, I'm listening to you right now.
Okay, fine. Well, go ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
How often have you heard of people using right frequency devices for detoxification?
Now, what frequency devices?
Right
frequency? I'm really not acquainted with that use of that for detoxification. I know that it has been used for many diseases in the past, and of course, poor Dr. Reif came up with a wonderful telescope. He came up with a machine that would generate these certain specific frequencies, and they seemed to work, and of course, he fell victim to, I think, a witch hunt, and of course, he was really humiliated and driven out of medicine. I do not know anything about that being used for toxicity. I know it's been used for many other things, and many times very successfully. Christy, do you know anything at all about the use of the Reif machine to detoxify people from mercury?
You know, I just recently have been getting a number of emails from people who have been using it, and they're raving about it. I haven't tried it myself, so you know, I can't tell you much about it. I do see a lot of frequency type of medicine, and from what I've seen, and that's anecdotally, it works quite well if it's applied properly. And it sounded like Dr. Reif had you know, had something going there. And commonly, when people did have something good going that would help people get well, especially during, you know, the past century, they were often humiliated like that, and then the information would get out that they were, you know, a wacko, and they wouldn't their research wouldn't go forward.
Now, Dana, do you know anything at all about it?
I've been using it for the last 2 years.
Well, tell me, what's your take on it?
Well, I've got 15 amalgam fillings.
Right. Have you got the fillings out?
No, I haven't gotten them out. I haven't been able to. And I'm planning on it in the future, but it's kept me alive.
All right.
So, basically, I have one device that has a set of frequencies specifically for detoxification, and I just notice whenever I use it, I feel a lot better.
Okay, I can't really comment on it, but I appreciate so much your calling, and get those fillings out. I think, you know, if you can possibly afford it, I think that, you know, it's well worthwhile doing. Anyway, God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Anything else you wanted to say?
If anybody wants to know about Dr. Reif and...
Royal Reif. Right.
Just do a search in quotations on any good search engine on the internet, and you'll find.
I'd go to Google, and they have fascinating material. And of course, it's you know, there's so many things out there that are very discouraging when you realize that there were treatments for cancer. There were treatments, many treatments for cancer have been actively suppressed in America.
70, 80 years ago.
Who would do anything that evil? Well, you need to get our new 4-tape set and our transcript on the new Order of the Barbarians, where, of course, the former director of Planned Parenthood gave a talk back in 1969 talking about how there were treatments for cancer and they were being actively suppressed because there were too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And you say, how could anybody say anything like that? Well, of course, you have to understand there really are people who have a different world vision than you and I. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Dana.
Dana? Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Anna calling from Aptos.
Hi.
Right.
Hi. I had a couple of questions.
All right.
I've been listening to your show for a while, and I appreciate all the information that you give everyone. I recently had my dentist remove my mercury fillings and replace them with amalgam fillings.
Right.
I only had
amalgam. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, composite.
All right, fine.
And I only had three, but I was wondering if there's a specific way that they need to remove them so that you don't, you know, I guess swallow the mercury or get it ingested through your body when they're removing them, because I think you just used a drill to basically remove them.
Well, thing is that Christy, do you have a comment on that, Tom?
Yeah, I do. They should put a rubber dam in place. They should protect you as much as they can to minimize the exposure. Because it's a vapor, you can't completely eradicate it, but they should have a negative ion generator there. They should have a charcoal filter. They should have you breathing There's some disagreement about this, but they should have you breathing some other air besides what's coming off that drill. And, of course, they should have cool water going on that drill at all times and sucking it up as fast as they drill it out.
Mm.
There's a whole technique to this, and there are numbers of protocols that are being developed. In fact, I just went to our local Board of Health here in King County in Washington State and presented that we should have a revision clinic within a medical facility so that these people can be monitored by medical people with blood work all at the same time. This would facilitate a health care insurance, not just dental insurance, because this is a medical problem. And clearly these people are metal toxic, and it would fall underneath any kind of metal poisoning like lead poisoning or arsenic poisoning, which should be covered on most medical insurance policies. So there's an income flow there for any kind of medical facility that would put a dental facility that had the correct training for the staff, the correct protection in place. I mean, everybody should be wearing some kind of protective clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the dentist is getting a huge exposure just through his hands. Even if he's covered with a latex gloves, it is not protecting him.
Of course,
he
gets in the air, Basically, there was a story recently, Anna, about some woman who broke a thermometer in the living room. So she just got out of her vacuum cleaner and, of course, was sucking it up. And apparently there was enough vapor produced that everybody in the house got mercury toxicity. Now, if you could do that simply vacuuming up the mercury from a thermometer, think what you'd do taking out the mercury from the mouth. Now, I'm a physician, and of course, I don't know anything at all about the protocols, but there are protocols. There are groups, of course, that work with that, and that was that website that we gave earlier about this international organization that the IAOMT.org.
Right.
And then, of course, you probably, when you had them out, you probably should have taken large doses of glutathione and antioxidants and all of these things. But, a lot of dentists are just learning about this, too.
Yeah,
and I think you're lucky to have a dentist who would actually take it out for you. Hopefully, as time goes by, these protocols will be developed and it'll become increasingly safer for people. Because, believe me, the dentist gets a tremendous dose of this, just as you would.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's going to get it frequently if he's working with mercury all the time.
Yeah. And that leads me to my second question is by myself, is there any diet or certain supplements that I can take that can help me if I do have any mercury in my system to get rid of it or,
Well, I've had great luck with vitamin C and of course, glutathione and MSM, and don't ask me to say the long word, but all of these sort of things bind with it, and garlic is helpful. But I'm not one of those people who I tried the DMPF chelating, and I think it's far too aggressive, and I was very aggressive myself at first, and I felt it was just a little bit too harsh. But it took me a year to figure it out. I think I probably made every mistake that you could possibly make.
I think, Anna, this book we carry that talks about health secrets that can save your life, health and nutrition secrets that can save your life, it talks a lot about getting mercury out of your system. It's got a section in there on that. So I think you might find some things in that book if you don't already have it. Okay, anything else you'd like to ask?
Oh, no, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And it's really very interesting. Here where we live in Santa Cruz, there are a lot of people who are into the alternative health and certainly vegetarians. And, I used to sort of sticker at them a little bit. I really don't have much anymore because they are on top of so much of this information that we should all be on top of. Now, some sometimes they can get a little carried away, but a lot of the things that they're talking about are absolutely right. And they were on the front lines of the battle to block the fluoridation of our water. And so here we find, myself, who might be considered a conservative, of working with the liberals, trying to block the water fluoridation here in Santa Cruz, and then, of course, over in Watsonville. And in both areas, we were able to block it, despite the aggressive tactics of the local medical association and the local dental association. And yet, of course, what they were doing was actually promoting policies that were harmful to the health of the people, and not because the average dentist or doctor would want to do anything to harm their patients, but because their organizations have a different agenda. And when you understand that, then, of course, you can understand why they're covering up not only the matter of fluoride, but the NutraSweet and, of course, mercury and so many of the toxins that really are having a profound impact on the people of our country. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Our guest is Christy Diamond. Her website, uninformedconsent.com. And, of course, you'd like to find out about her video. You can find out about it there. And Christy, is there any sort of group up there in your area in Seattle that you're working with, or you're pretty much on your own?
No, there's actually hundreds of people up here who are working on eradicating mercury. A lot of good people. Fortunately, I'm not alone, although, I come up with my, ideas to go to the Board of Health and that sort of thing. I kind of did that on my own. But, sometimes it's just better to just forge ahead with your ideas and see if they stick. And indeed, when I did go to the Board of Health, I did get a fairly good reception, and I brought one of those Jerome Mercury vapor analyzers with me, a sniffer. Dr. Haley was talking about that, and I actually measured the mercury vapor coming off a couple of members' teeth while I was there. It was there after the meeting, and that really got their attention, because that takes a 10-second a sample of air, which is actually diluted, because the amount of volume of air that's in your mouth is only takes about 3 seconds, and so whatever it reads is diluted by another 7 seconds or so, and by room air, and so we're getting mercury vapor readings off of people's teeth, and you take that and you multiply that by six, and you get a minute. You multiply it by 60, and you get an hour, and you multiply that, and so on and so forth. And I put it on a little spreadsheet on Excel, and lo and behold, in about a week, most of those people had exceeded OSHA's limits by about 10,000 times because they had mercury amalgams in their mouth.
Now, do you have any dentists up there that are helping you? We've got somebody on line two. Maybe we can get we've got that picked up now. Do you have any dentists up there that are helping you?
Well, I've had quite a bit of support from the mercury-free dentists here in the area. I actually know a lot of wonderful dentists. To me, after what I've learned about this issue, they really have put their lives on the line to help these people who come in to want to have the mercury taken out. And they do the best they can. Of course, there's protocols being developed all the time. We've just got to get some, reputable protocol in place that works better and consistently. And we've got some that work pretty well. And the fellow that called earlier in the show, he was working it. And basically, it's real simple. You get rid of the poison, and you do it carefully. And it's the cause and effect. And then you very gently work on supporting your body and helping it get rid of the toxins. And often it's not just mercury, but it's always the leader. And I was really the big question, and the $64 million question to me is, they've got a big panic over fish. And I've been attending these mercury strategic meetings at our Washington State Department of Ecology, and they say that every waterway in the state is massively polluted beyond acceptable limits. And well, where did the mercury come from? How do the fish get it? We've got answers if people just get outside the box.
Well, let's hope we can help them. Let's go to Eric, colleague from Compton. Hi, Eric. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I just called to thank Ms. Diamond and you for continuing to get this kind of information out to people. And I just, it's just kind of funny when you talk, when you have programs about how they've just stealing and have stolen our country from us, you get a call or two, and then you talk about something that touches people's lives personally, and everybody's calling. It's just kind of funny. But it helps me, though, because I get so frustrated when I talk to people about, hey, I'm always, you got to get RadioLiberty.com, you got to listen to Dr. Stan. And it just gets so frustrating because nobody seems to care. And I just want to thank you and thank Ms. Diamond. Continue to get the information out to these people. And maybe there's some hope, Dr. Stan. I don't know.
We remember John Quincy Adams said, duty is ours, the results of the Lord. So you keep telling them, and that's their responsibility. If God wants them to listen, they'll listen. But you need to keep telling them, okay?
Oh, count on it.
God bless you.
One quick question, Dr.
Sure.
Stan. Are you going to have a program about the judge in Alabama, what's going on down there?
Oh, sure. We've got to get Judge Roy Moore on. Because this is really a dividing issue. This is almost like a watershed issue. If the American people aren't concerned, you know, about the implications of the Supreme Court basically taking God out of our society, and this really is a very, very important issue. What we need to do is try to mobilize the Christians, if we still can. They may be beyond hope, but people have to understand that our country was founded under God. Our freedoms come from God, and as William Penn had said so well, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. And that's why those who would be tyrants want to take God out of our classrooms, take God out of the Ten Commandments from being displayed any place, because of course, in the case of Stone versus Bruner back in 1980, the Supreme Court said, you know, the Ten Commandments wouldn't do any good unless the children read them, and if they read them, they might meditate on them. If they meditated upon them, they might obey them. And if they were to obey them, that would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. You mean to tell me if they were to obey the Ten Commandments that say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness? That, of course, is against what America stands for. And I'd like to say that if the Christians don't understand the implications of what has just happened, then there's no hope for America.
We will
be putting lots of programs on. Don't you worry, Eric.
It may be a defining moment in this country's history.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
People need to understand that the federal judge had no right to do what he did.
You're absolutely right.
Ms. Diamond, thanks again. Didn't mean to get
off
the subject, but...
God bless you.
Oh, no.
Bye-bye.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I know how deeply people feel about all sorts of other issues, but for the rest of the evening, let's just sort of stick to this issue, because this is an important issue, too. Why is it important? Well, because it is simply one more issue that people are not hearing about. And if we can make them understand that they've been lied to and deceived on something that can affect their health, maybe they'll begin to think. And if they begin to think, they'll begin to understand the implications of everything else, and specifically the issue that Eric was talking about, and how America is being intentionally changed and the foundation of our freedom eroded and destroyed. Well, we can have time for another couple of calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, if you're concerned about the fact that they've been poisoning the American people for such a very, very, very long time. And I'm going to, of course, have them screen Joan over here. Joan from Aptos is calling. Hi, Joan. How are you doing?
Great. I have a question. The longer these fillings are in, does the mercury decrease and have less of a toxic effect on your body? So if you've had them for 40 years or more?
Well, you have a bioaccumulative effect where your body is busy trying to slough it off, and depending on your state of health, how good it is at doing that, but the amount of mercury that deposits in your tissues way outweighs what you're excreting, and that's why it bioaccumulates. And so if you're 40 years old, and I'm 51, and I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but I went over the top. And if I had been younger, I might have been able to withstand the accumulation. But it was in my early 40s that it, you know, I was operating fairly normally, I guess, and then I completely lost it.
Now, Chris, the question though was, you know, you've had these mercury fillings in your mouth, and they've been giving off mercury for 40 years. Are they still going to be giving off the same amount of mercury? Aren't they eventually going to give off all the mercury so that it won't be a danger anymore? Or is it a constant giving off as long as they're there?
Well, that's right. You know, the mercury vapor tooth that we took the video of? That's
yes.
50 years old.
Okay. You want to go up to her website then, and of course it's uninformedconsent.org, and look at that video of what .com. Look at that video of the emissions from a 50-year-old tooth.
It comes right off very, very fast,
right.
Very quickly.
Right.
I believe it's got. Now I heard in or read somewhere that the half life of mercury was something like 42.3 years or something like that. So I pretty much did a mental calculation and figured I would be dealing with detoxification for the rest of my life.
Right. And the older you get, why the mercury we're going to get. Hey, thanks so very much for calling,
Thank
Joan.
You.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, let's go to Tony calling from SoCal. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well. Actually, I got my last mercury filling taken out about 2 weeks ago.
All right, fine.
I had 12, and my wife had 22. We're down to four now.
You probably got a very, very rich dentist then.
Well, we've had about four dentists over the years.
Right.
We started getting them out about 10 years ago. And I was talking to your call screener, Dean, a little bit about I would recommend that no one get more than four done at any one time.
All right, fine. Good, probably good point.
Because I had six done at one time, and I had migraine headaches for 6 weeks.
All right.
What I did want to mention, though, is that I did read Dr. Balog's book, you know, Health Secrets.
Right.
And as far as a lot of other information I've assimilated, what does really work good for bonding mercury that I found is the chlorella and selenium and alpha lympholic acids, as well as the Alamax garlic. All of those do seem to work really, really well.
All right. Fine. And first, anybody wants to know how to get hold of Alamax, why, you can simply call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. Well, I appreciate that, Tony.
Well,
anything else you want to say?
Well, just one thing. I think the best thing that I ever did do as far as on my dental was get rid of a root canal as well. And I know that's another subject, but I had more problems with a root canal and nasal infections and headaches and being sick all the time until I got that dang root canal pulled out.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get my dentist on here one of these days, and we'll do a program on that because you're absolutely right. And but the dentists are told, you know, this is the way to go. And, of course, it's. But the people who have really studied this will tell you that this does nothing but create problems.
Oh, one other thing. I thought I had what's commonly referred to as pattern male baldness. I mean, I started losing my hair when I was barely 21.
Right.
It was right after I got all these mercury fillings put in. And, you know, guess what? My hair's starting to come back now.
Is it coming back again?
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, fine.
Yeah, in fact, I've had several people tell me that. I'm not making it up.
Okay, thanks so much, Tony.
Nice.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, you know, this is an amazing, amazing, amazing subject. And we're just going to put together a four-tape set on this because we think it's so important that people begin to understand that they're being poisoned. Now, the dentist doesn't understand it, but there are people within the organized dentistry who do. Let's go to Jim calling from Aptos. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I wanted to call in because about 6 months ago, my dentist made some comments about mercury fillings, and he said that it's an individual decision you have to make, but here's some information and here's some websites. I looked at the material. Now, I'm no dummy. I took one quick look at it and said, oh, my God. I've got to take this stuff out. Now, I had the right-hand side taken out, upper and lower. I didn't have that many fillings, but one of the problems was that a couple of the fillings were underneath some oversized caps. So it created little batteries in my mouth to generate the mercury vapor.
Well, I'm glad you got them out, and you've obviously got... See, the dentist is a little afraid to come right out and say this, but although I think they may very well have changed the laws here in California, so that you can say it. But in some states, they'll go after your dental license if you do.
Oh, yeah. It has to be the patient's decision, but after looking at the evidence, it's so obvious. I'm going in for the other side of the mouth. I've got only three fillings on each side. And again, the same thing. Two of them are under caps, sealed under the caps.
Sure.
So
and that's
take
a common
out.
Practice, by the way.
Pardon?
It's a common practice to use mercury as a base and then put the cap over the top.
And create a small battery to generate mercury forever.
Right.
Well, nobody told them that that was dangerous.
Right. I think that the doctors who put that in really didn't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now, of course...
Now
that we know, hopefully they're going to quit doing it. And if they don't, then, of course, they'd be responsible.
Yeah, then it will be criminal.
Right.
Well, you know, if people think that, oh, I'm powerless to do anything, and a lot of people are sick. But actually, we're not powerless because there's a lot more of us than there are of them.
There certainly are.
And the consumer demand will guide the market. We don't have to wait for a law for informed consent.
No. The gentleman that came on just before I did mentioned root canals. I've got two root canals that I'm going to have yanked out.
Good idea.
Similar types of problems, and if you can speak on that subject, it'd be great.
All right, now, actually, I'll have to get my dentist on. I won't speak on it, but I'll get somebody who's a lot smarter, and I've read the material he's given me, and it's enough to scare you to death.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Jim. Well, this has been a fascinating, fascinating evening. We've had all sorts of callers, and so if anybody else, we have about 4 minutes left. If you are out there and you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Why, of course, give us a jingle. Our guest, of course, is Christy Diamond. We're talking about the subject of mercury amalgam fillings and the toxic effect from this and the fact that the organized dentistry is covering this up, and they're not only certainly covering this up from the public, they're covering it up for the dentist, because I believe that most of the dentists have no idea what's really going on. But if you out there in the listening audience can go to the various websites we've talked about tonight and, of course, get the information, pull it down, get a couple of excellent articles, and then go to your dentist and say, hey, tell me about this. Why are these people wrong? And if they're not wrong, why are you still using amalgam fillings? You know, you wouldn't want to do anything to hurt your patients, would you? And I'm sure that's really true. The dentist wouldn't. Maybe you can get him thinking, and you can swing him around to our side. And once he swings to our side, he'll begin to realize that the Dental Association has been lying to him about so many other things. And then maybe we can get responsible people into positions of power and influence. Well, Christy, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Well, I just I thank you very much, Dr. Stan, for helping getting the word out. It's been a struggle for us all, and I think it's happening. I think there's a collective consciousness occurring. We do have people who are going to their dentists and asking to have the mercury amalgam taken out, and I think that we need, as responsible citizens, we need to get out there and demand that they do it safely. And you need to get those composites. You need to have some biocompatibility done on the composite material before you go in and have this stuff removed. And do as much research and be educated as possible about what's going on. And remember, you know, there's not, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're white or black or Republican or Democrat or a male or a female. This is a poison that affects us all, and it doesn't matter how conservative you are or whether you're religious or whether you're not religious. It touches every single one of us.
I think you're absolutely right. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's been a fascinating program. I hope we can get you on some of our other programs.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you've enjoyed our program this evening, a marathon. But, of course, I think it's an important, important subject, and I hope you'll help us to get the information out. Remember, Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you agree with us, we hope many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we're up to about 59 different outlets every week. Many of them are only 30 minutes. Many of them are satellite, internet, but we are reaching people with the truth they're not getting elsewhere. If you'd like to be part of our effort, the Radio Liberty family, give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and so until Monday at the same time. May the Lord be with you.